I'm thrilled that Austin Ramsey's with us. He's with B-Law. And Paul, this goes back years ago to John Rogers in Chicago with the Calvert Group. And I remember being in a meeting and somebody said, this is social investing.
Yep.
And I can tell you it was beyond foreign. And the response and success of what John Rogers and his team in Chicago invented was extraordinary.
Yep.
And we've moved on from that to, and help me, Paul, a raging political debate.
Yes.
About ESG investing wrapped around words like must or should.
Yep.
Or could or maybe. And it's a very nuanced research note from Austin Ramsey. Why don't you kick it off?
Absolutely. Austin Ramsey, Bloomberg Law Reporter, joins us here. And just for our listeners, Austin, you know, ESG investing, environmental, social, and governance. It was primarily, it began in Europe. It's come to the U.S. over the last 10, 15 years. It's become a big part of the investment philosophy. What is the debate, Austin?
Well, lately, the ESG debate has really centered around, believe it or not, retirement savings. And I think that comes as a surprise to a lot of retail investors who have largely been using ESG principles or factors when they make decisions on Wall Street for a while now. Lately, Republicans have taken a really a cudgel debate over this particular, style or these particular factors when choosing investments, because they're worried that retirement plans and the fiduciaries who make decisions on behalf of retirement plan participants and beneficiaries are really, you know, outweighing ESG when they make these kinds of decisions. And, you know,
right,
these Republicans are concerned that that's going to tank retirement
right
investments.
In the nuanced note you have, and folks, I'm going to cut to the chase here just because of time, but you've got like experts from, say, Ropes and Gray in Boston who have been doing this for decades. I mean, decades and decades back to what John Rogers did, and the usual political people, the Republican side, the Democrat, I get all that. And what I find interesting is Jay Clayton, who I know quite well, former chairman of the SEC, clearly associated with the Republican Party, I'll say. But what's so important here, Austin, is Jay Clayton is saying, look, all we want is informed consent. But the people leading the charge on this are not talking about informed consent, are they? They want to say you can't do this, right?
Yeah, that's right. Really, for the first time, Republicans are proposing a bill here that would amend both the 40 Act and the Employee Retirement Income Security Act to ban ESG investing. And that's right. That's not telling particular workplace investors, look, I'm going to be considering these kinds of factors. That's telling workplace investors ESG is off the table.
Why would they do that? I mean, I don't understand. I mean, I get the politics of it in climate change and all the other stuff Paul and I cover every day. But don't they want a nuance? I mean, I get that they want to advocate their side, but it just seems, Paul, am I wrong? It just seems so strident versus what I'm hearing from the former chairman of the SEC.
Yeah. So, Austin, I mean, I guess the issue is it appears that it's primarily political here. But, I mean, if you look at just take, you know, some of the big firms are already fully embracing ESG as part of their ethos. I'm thinking BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street. I mean, these are asset managers who manage gajillions of dollars for investors all over the world. It seems like the market has already decided that it is, in fact, incorporating ESG into its investment. Are the U.S. regulators too late here?
You know, I think that in many ways what the U.S. Labor Department did here with respect to ESG investing was kind of a side note. I think Republicans have taken a look at that, and they've decided that they can use it as a political cudgel. Now, whether that's smart or not, whether that's going to make a difference or not, that's really up to the market to decide. But this has ignited a firestorm over what they're calling woke climate change politics.
Yep.
And if we look at the history on this, and if we even just take a step back and look at what's happened over just the last couple of months, I think what we realize is that, you know, they're going to try and make this attack. They're going to try to repeatedly take this attack, regardless of whether or not it makes a difference in the markets. And what we know is that it's not.
And interesting, Austin, this is, I'm learning, primarily an American issue. I was been going back and forth with Tim Craighead, who runs Bloomberg Intelligence in London, and he has been spearheading our ESG research efforts at Bloomberg Intelligence. And Bloomberg Intelligence has a lot of analysts covering ESG. And I asked him about this pushback that we're starting to see in the U.S., and he says they are generally not seeing it in Europe. And he cited Scandinavian countries in particular that are fully embracing ESG as they make the transition from fossil fuels to more eco-friendly. Do you get the sense here that this is primarily just an American thing, and maybe it's a political thing?
Yeah, it's politics. Europe has embraced ESG, and they embraced it a long time ago. In fact, you know, many defined benefit old style pension plans that you've seen, you know, using these kinds of principles on the market are laughing at the workplace investment world right now, because it's become a regulatory ping pong match on whether or not ESG is or isn't permissible, or whether it should or has to be, you know, considered when making the investment decisions.
Don't be a stranger. We got to come back to this. Austin Ramsey with us here on the political battle of ESG, anti-ESG, et cetera, investing.